Delighted to be joined now here on ESPN FC by Rocco Commisso, who of course is the owner of Fiorentina. Not quite 12 months into the job, Rocco. I bet you weren't expecting things to come grinding to a halt with this awful pandemic so early.
Well, it's interesting, right, Gabriele, that you're mentioning it. Little did I know, right? I've been waiting for so long to get involved with Italian soccer, and I got in at what's due now at the worst possible time. You know, so you get some good ones, some bad ones. Unfortunately, there's a serious one from a health situation that none of us know what's going to end up. But, you know, given the fact that we have MediaCom, you know, backing up our investment, and you pretty much know that we're ESPN and MediaCom do a lot of business together. The MediaCom is a pretty sizable organization in the U.S. We're the fifth largest, so we have, you know, a good company backing the investments that we have made in Florence back in June 6th of 2019.
How are you finding Serie A as a league, you know, the response? I mean, we often say that, you know, leagues are, you know, you got 20 owners who are all business partners, all in it together. How have you found negotiating all the stuff with when to stop, how to stop behind closed doors, and then looking forward, you know, prospects are starting up again?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's totally different than the American system where you have a commissioner that pretty much rules the shop, where he's delegated significant authority in all the leagues in the U.S., whether it's basketball, football, or baseball, to activate, you know, processes and making decisions for the entire league without, you know, with a simple majority or two-thirds vote of the board. We don't have that same setup in Italy, you know, in the sense that in many respects, each club is on its own. There's league meetings. A lot of decisions are made, sometimes not enough and sometimes not quickly. And some confusion. I have not been to one league meeting as of yet. You know, Joe Barone, who is the person in charge there in Italy, has gone to the league meetings, but it's not as smooth, frankly, as what I understand the case to be here in the U.S. So it's not easy to get things done in Italy the way I'd expected, frankly. And we'll talk about this in this interview. You know, that goes into the, you know, everything. You know, whether it's the players market, you know, whether it's the stadium situation, whether how do we move the league forward, Italian soccer forward. How do we get it closer to the other leagues in Europe? You know, because slowly we're getting behind, more behind than we were 10 years ago. Which is, you know, one of my primary objectives and foremost being, you know, letting us, the government, you know, the powers of the government, the politics, the bureaucracy, you know, letting people like me invest in the stadium that I want to build in the city of Florence.
I want to get to the stadium. I know that's an important issue, not just for Fiorentina, but obviously Roma, Milan, Inter, they've all been dealing with this really key issue. But just more immediately on the current crisis, obviously we don't know how long this pandemic is going to last, but the Federation President Gravina has said that there's different options in terms of either, you know, basically voiding the season, not having promotion, relegation, not awarding a title, or perhaps other formulas, or perhaps playing out the rest of the season, even if it means playing past June 30th into July. Do you, as Fiorentina, do you have a view on this?
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't. The thing is, and the big question mark, Gabriele, is that nobody knows what's going to happen on the health situation. As of today, what I know is that we probably would not start playing a game before May 20th. Whether we could do, I think there's another 13 games left, whether we could do 13 games in a month and a half, it's doubtful. So it means it may go into July. But what you and I don't know is what could happen over the next 30 days. You know, there could be another government edict that says you can't practice, right? We need to be able to practice at least 2 or 3 weeks before our first game. And maybe the government will step in and says you can't practice in the month of the early part of May. So it's a tenuous situation that, frankly, I don't think anybody knows today how this thing will resolve itself. In 2 weeks, it could get better, but it could be the same. And if it's the same, I don't think we're going to start playing. And it could get worse. And if it gets worse, maybe the entire season will get canceled. So I'm ambivalent. I'm putting my foot down, saying one way or another, this is what needs to get done, because I have to, you know, as I've always said in the past month and a half, is first is the health of our players, of, you know, all the dependencia, all the people that work for Fiorentina, and the second is soccer, is culture, right, football. And I don't have an answer for you as to when we're going to start for sure, with certainty.
And we'll get to some of the broader issues in a minute, but just on the immediate situation, one issue that's been talked about a lot around Europe is the possibility of players taking some sort of pay cut or a wage deferral through the next season. There's a big meeting in the Premier League on Friday. Barcelona and Bayern have already taken steps. So has Juventus. At the same time, the players' union in Italy is trying to negotiate some sort of comprehensive deal that might cover everybody. What's your general view on that?
Well, look, the general view is that in the business of soccer, we have potentially variable revenues but fixed costs. So our primary product, our only product that we sell, is the game. Mm-hmm. And the games take place by having players playing. Right? So that product is not being used right now. And unless something is done, we have to pay for it. And whereas the revenue side, for sure, the stadium revenues that go down the drain. And then, you know, there's at risk also the television revenue. So there's got to be a give on the cost side to maintain the integrity and the future, the financial future of soccer, of culture in Italy. Once again, I'm speaking in total. You know, each team will deal differently because each team and their owners are, you know, have different financial resources. But I guess if there's no help coming from the government or voluntary help coming from the players, there's a lot of teams that may not make it, you know, going forward. So the situation is pretty serious. It's a business like any other business, just that in our business, just like in the restaurant business, on the hotel business, when they shut down, all their employees go home, but no, come si dice in italiano, cassa integrazione, that's not happening. Yes. With us. You follow me? They go, in Italy, they go to the unemployment line when a hotel, let me say it in English, when a hotel or restaurant closes down, but it's not happening necessarily, you know, employees. So we'll see what happens. I think there's discussions taking place as we speak within Serie A, and see what what's the right thing to do, for the core structure of all the Serie A teams, which the biggest one being the player salary. And I think there's going to be something done. I don't know exactly what the formula would be today.
One thing that we have seen more broadly, and I know this is something that's important to Fiorentina, is in recent years, we've seen a lot of investors come in from abroad. Not just you, but, you know, we saw it in Milan, we saw it in Inter, we saw it at Roma, we saw it at Bologna with Mr. Saputo. And these guys come in and they look at the revenue model and they say, all right, the TV rights or broadcast income is pretty good, but we can do better. Commercial rights are good, but we can do better. Stadium revenue, we can do a lot better, and let us build our own stadiums. That's been a priority for Roma. It's been a priority for Milan and Inter. Now you guys at Fiorentina, you guys want to do this. Can you give us a flavor about why it's so difficult and the fact that I think right now in Serie A, I'm right in saying, you know, Juventus were able to do it. Sassuolo were able to do it. Udinese sort of were able to do it. But other than that, there's been no real movement on it. You've got investors who are willing to build new stadiums, generate new revenue, but it's not happening. Why?
Well, let's step back so I could give the listeners an idea. You know, we're somewhat behind a big time for sure with respect to the Premier League, and we're getting behind also the other major leagues in Spain, in France, and in Germany. And Serie A, as you know, Gabriele, you know, 20 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, was right at the top there with the best players and with the best soccer being played in entire Europe. So our question, why is that? Well, if you look at, for instance, the revenues put out by Deloitte in their annual report, where, you know, the teams were, the top 20 teams were 10 years ago versus today, you know, you would find teams like Manchester City that was generating about $100 million, Tottenham, Atletico Madrid, PSG, and Juventus, that, you know, its revenues in the past 10 years have grown from 300%, 400%, 500%. Manchester City used to have $100 million, and today, or last year, I should say, there were $600 million. You know, it's a six-fold increase. Likewise with, PSG was not even ranked. And today, they were not ranked in the top 20. And today, PSG is at, let me see the numbers. PSG is, $636 million. Again, you know, six times increase. Tottenham, the same thing. Atletico Madrid, phenomenal. They were not even ranked 10 years ago in the top 20. And today, Atletico Madrid is $368 million. And we all know the story about Juventus, where their revenues took off immediately after they built the Juventus Stadium. So that's a pretty strong indication of the importance of building infrastructures for our sport that's modern, convenient, and 7-day-a-week operations where you have the ability to control the merchandising, the food, the museum, possibly have a hotel next door, a convention center, but 7 days a week, structures as opposed to once every 2 weeks, if you follow me, because games, you know, with away and home games, you know, you play games every 2 weeks, you know, in the league. So it's a huge, in the case of Fiorentina, interestingly enough, 10 years ago, we had more revenue than we have today. So we're going backwards. We might have been the 21st largest team 10 years ago. Today, we're probably 50 or 60, some number like that would barely generate $100 million. And what I said from the first day that I entered the city of Florence is I'm there to make investments for the betterment of Italian soccer, not only, but and not only Fiorentina, but for the betterment of the entire soccer. We're playing in a stadium that was built in the 30s. And as I mentioned to someone the other day, you know, the cars that were built in the 30s, they're no longer on the road. You know, they may be in a museum somewhere. And look, not. The other thing is, you know, we have a phenomenal, which I've used, a phenomenal public transportation, the Frecce Rosse, right, the high-speed train, which is absolutely phenomenal, which as a result, it's an easier way of transporting people within Italy. I've taken that many times, you know, which eliminated the need, reduced the need to build new highways. So there seems to be a standstill in Italy in giving you the opportunity to invest fast for those people that want to invest. I don't know if you noticed the Stadio Franchi, right, was built in 1932, and because it's 50 years old, at least 50 years old, it's a monument. And because it's a monument, you have to go to a ministry in the Interior Department there that takes care of all the monuments, and it's impossible to do anything, right, because, you know, the cylinders of powers in the Italian bureaucracy, so everybody has a say on what to do and not to do. I would hope that with this recession that's taking place as we speak with the coronavirus, the only good thing, I would hope, you know, that comes out of this thing is for Italy to realize, you know, that we got to get the economy going. And there's people out there like myself that wants to invest, but the laws have to be changed. We have taken a lead role to our people in Italy in trying to formulate new laws, trying to get, and we have Malago, we have the guy in charge of Coney, we have Gravina, you know, we have different parts of the government that, you know, frankly, they give us the feeling that they may want to do in changing some laws, especially the monument laws, that incentivizes as opposed to detracting people like me to want to build and leave something behind really because it's sorely needed. We've seen it in England, what happened. We've seen it in other parts of Europe, what has happened. We certainly see it every day in America. I don't think in America, I don't think there's a professional team in America that's got a stadium that was built and, you know, it hasn't been remodeled. Maybe we have one or two, but it's been remodeled, right? But, you know, stadiums here in the New York metropolitan area, they're all been built new to replace old ones in the last 20 years. And that's the way it should happen in Italy, and it creates economic activity, employment, property taxes, sales taxes, and it's good for everyone, including the residents of Florence, which the government hopefully understands and makes it easier so that people that want to go to work, they work as opposed to staying on the unemployment lines the way it's happening right now.
Well, it's the same battle, of course, that they've been fighting in Rome and in Milan. I think among your fellow Serie A owners, at least, you should have a lot of support. You talked about the people of Florence, and I got to say, when you bought the club, you didn't hide the fact that as a kid, you were a fan of Juventus. And historically, I don't think that there is a single club in Italy that Fiorentina fans hate more than Juve for many different reasons. And yet you seem to have kind of charmed your way into the hearts of Fiorentina fans. I saw you playing the accordion on the radio. Can you talk a little bit about how that impact has been? How did you become one of them, so to speak?
Well, look, I mean, maybe it started with my persona. I mean, the first minute that I landed in Florence, I said, chiamatemi Rocco, no? None of this Presidente, Mr. Commisso. You know, I like to be called Rocco because all my 4,500 employees, I should say, at Mediacom, to this day, they call me Rocco, right? So I started from there. Then we had that big outing, if you remember, in that first day in Florence, you know, at the Antonio Franchi, where 8,000 people showed up, which they gave me such a warm welcome. Look, I'm a guy from the street. Nothing has changed in my life other than being successful in the business world. And find myself having played soccer, having grown up with soccer, having soccer give it, open up doors for me, like getting into Columbia. I understand you went to University of Pennsylvania, right? And you also went to Columbia Journalism School, for which I congratulate
you.
Yeah. Right? And with soccer, they open up the many doors for me that helped me get to where I am in the business world. So, you know, I think people know that I'm not there to take money away and bring them home. I think people understand that within the rules established by the financial fair play rules, you know, that there's certain things that I could do and certain things that I cannot do, right? And the limitation comes from the restrictions that are imposed on me as opposed in terms of spending all kinds of money, you know, as opposed to wanting to spend the money. I think also people finally, if they had been before, they're finally realizing the importance of having a stadium that's owned by the team. I think people are realizing that, you know, whenever Rock was gone, right, the stadium will always remain in the city of Florence, which is something that I'd really like to leave behind, right? Because I'm not going to be around forever. The Florence may be forever. Fiorentina may be there forever, you know, and I hope the stadium will be forever, right? I don't know if you noticed, Gabriele, you know, we probably made the largest single investment of any single owner in the history of Italian soccer. Of those that are still around, those who are still alive, right? I mean, the guy that invested all kinds of money in AC Milan, the guy from China, you know, he went sort of bankrupt, right? And he went back home. We have spent about 170 million euros to buy the team. Then two or three months later, I committed to spend another 70 million to build a training center, which would be the largest in Italy and the first one to bring the women, the youth, the youth sector, you know, and the first team in one area where there's 62 acres, for where we're going to have over 10 fields. It's absolutely beautiful right at the outskirts of Florence. And then in the January market, we went out and invested another $70 million to bring in new players and to ramp up, you know, the team to the level that hopefully I wanted to have, you know, going to next year. So we have over $300 million already committed to invest in the club, and I'm ready to invest more via the stadium as long as it's done fast, right? I have control and courts that are, you know, the right courts. We can't spend, you know, big dollars the way they spent for the Yankee Stadium here in New York, because we don't have, there's no way in hell that the Italian government or the city of Florence will give us the money that they provided, you know, to the Yankee Stadium. That's what I want to do. I mean, and I think everyone in Fiorentina, having had a terrible dearth of, we haven't won anything in the 18 prior years with the prior ownership. So they're looking to win something there. And I hope to somehow, some way, make them happy. And that's what I love, you know, mutual love, right? I love them, they love me, sort of. You know, that's where it stems from, the realization that there's someone there that wants to, you know, bring something and leave something in the city of Florence and bring one or two trophies back to the city of Fiorentina, because the last time we won anything was in 1969 in the Campionato.
Going back to matters on the pitch, you have a cluster of super talented young players from Drongovsky, Milenkovic, Castrovilli, Vlahovic up front, and you have, I think, an unquestioned superstar in Federico Chiesa. I think a lot of fans might look at this and say, okay, fine, we've had very gifted players before, but the reality is we've had to sell them on. That's kind of been the story of Florence going back to the days of Battistuta, Rui Costa, and before that, Roberto Baggio. I know you're a businessman, but How do you see that? How do you give me odds that these five guys, especially Chiesa, will be there in a year or two's time?
Well, that would be my dream and my objective, right, to make Fiorentina the place that everybody wants to come, as opposed to a transient place where people come and then go to a better team. I think Chiesa knows how much he's loved by me, and how much he's loved by people in Firenze. He's grown up in the youth sector. Look, we haven't been able to sit down. I already made my initial commitment of keeping Chiesa last year when there was rumors. They already had a deal with Juventus, right? So the first thing I said the first day I entered the city of Florence is Chiesa stays with me and I maintain my promise. I also said, you know, that we're going to sit down, and to the extent he wants to leave, we'll see if we could accommodate us, as long as, you know, yeah, we get the right price. But that's not my intention. I hope it's not his intention. You know, he's got roots in Florence. His mother, his father, his brother, his girlfriend, they're all in Florence. And I think we, with the new coach coming in, especially, we're seeing a revived Chiesa, much more enthusiastic, much more willing to express his love, you know, for the team. And I would hope to retain him. That works for the other stars that we have in our team. And we have lots of young stars, right? Whether it's Castrovilli, Milankovic, Vlahovic, you know, Dragoski, the goalie. We just bought a few others recently. And we expect Duncan, Kume was hurt. And we expect to bring home, you know, the season is over. That's the deal that we have with Amrabat from Verona, who's going to be part of that super midfield that I expect to see, okay, next year. So we're building the roots. We already had lots of talent, and we want to build on that talent as opposed to keep on selling the jewels as it was done in the past. Am I going to be able to succeed in that? It remains to be seen, all right? Because, as I always say, it takes two to tango, and I'm only one part of the equation. But my interest is to keep all my best players and not sell them out. My objective, I should say.
Rocco, last question from me. When you went into this, you must have had some sense of expectation of what would constitute a successful season. You had some struggles at the start of the year. You changed managers. You moved up the table a little bit. What grade would you give Fiorentina on the pitch this season?
Well, look, I said two things when I started. If we have the same season as last year, it would be a failure. Having said that, you know, this is a transitional year, so I'd expect it to be in the mid, you know, I expect it as a personal objective that if I were, you know, in the middle, 10, 11, 9, 10, 11, something like that, you know, I would be okay with it, right? Then, you're right, things did not turn out the way I'd expected them. We had a stretch of bad games in November and then December. We made a managerial change. We went out and invested heavily in the January market, and we had a pretty good run until very recently, with the season being stopped, where today we're number 13. I'm reasonably happy with that. So, but we don't know what's going to end up, because we didn't even know if we're going to finish the season and so on. You know, I also said recently, you know, give me time to learn. Give me time, you know, to put my feet down. And the people of Florence have done that. You know, and I've also said that I expect the next year to be the first year, you know, where Fiorentina goes back to where it belongs, you know, and one of the seven sisters of Serie A, and then hopefully even better than that. So that's my expectation beginning with next year, that we're definitely on the left side and hopefully higher of the Classifica, right? And hope to do even better than just being on the left side. So I didn't promise any campionati, Gabriele, okay? but I did say, you know, be nice to win something someday, right? So that's what my that's my expectation. Let me just turn to another thing, if you don't mind, unless you have other questions, Gabriele.
Go for it.
All right, so look, we started this fund because of on March 17th to raise money for the hospitals, the frontline people in and around Florence. That so far has been extremely successful. In fact, it's become the largest money raiser campaign done in the U.S. for anything related to Italy. And I'm very proud of that. We started out, my family contributed 250,000 euros. We started out with a goal of 500,000. We reached that, in less than a week. And we're into our, 15th day now. And we already raised over 750 euros. And that money is already being distributed, to buy necessary equipment to deal with the sick people and the needs of the hospitals in the metropolitan city of Florence. As you probably have read, we have had quite a few of our players, physiotherapists, related family members affected by this disease, some of whom had to go into the hospital, been taken care of. In particular, I want to mention one name, Luca Pengue, who's our doctor, right? And after taking care of the players never went to the hospital. We have three guys affected by this, Glaovic, Petzella, and Cutrone. And after he took care of our players to make sure that he's all right, little did we know that he was also sick and he had to be recovered in the hospital. And after staying there for 3 or 4 days, he came out. So he's the real hero so far of the situation that's affected not just Florence, but the entire peninsula of beautiful Italy. So I would urge, the name of the campaign is called Forza e Cuore. It's a GoFundMe money raising effort. We expect to naturally to be over the 750 number. We have other contributions that are being made, as we speak. That's not been put in the website yet. So I would urge anyone that is in love with Italy, that has ever been to the city of Florence, that love the city of Florence, that has any connection, to Fiorentina and the health, and the beauty of the city of Florence, to please make an effort, to contribute in this fundraiser, which has become very important, small but very important, for the health crisis that we all that we have had in Italy, which is, as you probably know, Gabriele, Italy has been hit the worst of any other country in the world so far. So thank you for anyone, and large and small. It doesn't have to be big money. Just make your contribution. It's Forza e Cuore. If you can't find that, go to the Viola, V like in Victor, IOLA, Viola channel, and you'll see the instructions to contribute by clicking, go to the internet by clicking through the Viola channel, which is our, a prime site for Fiorentina. And thank you.
Well, Forza e Cuore, strength and heart. That's the name of the campaign, Forza e Cuore. Rocco, thank you so much for your time.
Gabriele, thank you. Thank you, and thanks ESPN. We have a huge, long-standing relation with ESPN, a great organization. In fact, I watch ESPN Plus. That's in the U.S. That's how I watch my soccer games. from Italy, including my Fiorentina, whenever I'm in the USA. It's a phenomenal product, and it's a great organization for which, I've been related to for the last 40 years. So thank you, Gabriele, and thanks for broadcasting this webcast.
Thanks, Rocco, and stay safe.
Thank you. Bye.